Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to A Female Voices, Really Random Stuff with Ms. Darko. And tonight we are talking about some really random stuff. We've got a few subjects going out. As always, they do tend to require a little bit of homework, but a lot of times we go off topic. And, you know, we've got some disappearing lakes, some shadow planets, some tarot birds, and of course, anything in the spectrum that they inspire for poetry. And all Team of Voices is a group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And I always like to say thank you for all they do, keeping the site up and running. And also to Deborah Lee for keeping the group up and running. You can always join by joining the site. It's free to join. Look up a Team of Voices, knock on the door, and Deborah Lee will let you in. And a little bit about our opening song, and that we actually, as the band is closing us out as well. The band was Kallio, and they are an Icelandic blues rock band, which formed in 2012. It consists of lead vocalist, guitarist, JJ, drummer, David Antonsen, bassist, Daniel, and I'm not even going to try to say that word because it is Icelandic, and I'm not sure. And, of course, the lead guitarist, Ruben Pollock. And they have released 3 studio albums, and the A/B, A Surface Sounds, in 2021, as well as an EP, Glass House, 2013. A and B side has sold over 1 million albums worldwide. One of the singles was Way Down We Go, which is what we just heard, was certified double platinum in the U.S. and reached a number one on the Billboard Alternative Songs chart August 20th, 2016. And they also received a Grammy nomination 2017 for Best Rock Performance for the song No Good. We do not have the song No Good tonight, but we are closing out with them with All the Pretty Girls. So I hope you enjoy them. If you haven't heard of them, look them up. Pretty good band, good sounds, good moves. There was like a helicopter thing going on at the beginning, a lot longer than I expected, so I apologize. Steven's like, this guy, what's going on here? But I hope you enjoyed it. And we do already have some callers on here. So, in order, as they call. Hello, Rock and Tour.
Hello, hello. Way down the tube, Holly. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I didn't, when I picked that song, I didn't even think how befitting that was. So, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
How's it going? Good
coincidence.
It's going. How are
you
doing tonight?
Yeah, well, you know, flying blind, but as usual, but, you know, that's my happy place, so there we are.
Okay. That's good. And we also have, I think, K, Stephen K, just Stephen, just K. I'm going to, yeah,
Stephen,
he's on the board. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
That's a Stephen.
Doing good. Day off.
Good. I have to apologize to you, Matt. I read the short story over again, and I couldn't make it, but I did read it, and that was my intention. So, I hope it went well. You know what I'm talking about,
it
right?
It did. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, yes.
I'm like, I read it, I'm ready to go, and then, you know, life, how's it going?
Going all right. Good day today. Actually ate dinner outside. It was nice enough. Although they are calling for snow on Easter.
Well, I heard it was going to get a little rough. That's crazy. That's just too crazy. I haven't eaten dinner yet, so what did you have? Maybe I could enjoy the knowing about it.
Baked chicken with mashed potatoes and gravy and peas.
Oh, that sounds good. Except
food,
I'll trade out the piece. We do have one more caller. Apparently, I like to answer on mute. Hello, Allie.
Hi, Sky.
How are you?
Better. A little sad, but
good.
That'll go away with time. How are you?
Good. Good. I don't know what
you said. You haven't
here.
Had
your...
dinner yet. I had mac and cheese
oh, no,
for dinner and ice cream. So.
Oh.
Nope, he's an ice cream.
Okay.
Definitely,
I
hope.
I just got home like. Yeah, I just got home a little bit ago, so I've been. I haven't had it yet, but I'm gonna be willing to. Mac and cheese sounds good. I don't have any in my house, so we'll have to go. I think we'll have to go chicken when I get there, but that sounds good. Well, you're all getting
bird.
Hungry talking about food now. Yeah, I'll have, oh, that's what it is, a terror bird. I didn't get it, Stephen. Oh, that's,
no.
Oh, Stephen's got birds on this thing. Rack, I don't know if I want some terror bird on the menu. I don't think I would go hunting for that. I don't think I would live. Oh, Stephen, I know that you don't have long, so I want to make sure that I get you up there, and I'm just going to have you go instead of talking a little bit, as I normally do, only because I don't know how long you have, and you know what happens when I start talking.
Well, okay, first of all, it'll be my turn to apologize to you because I watched none of the videos as I had no time. But I just used the prompt, Shadow Planet, and just went from there. And I call this, feel their teeth when the nights do seize. In August, when nights are dark and dank, clothing sticks to sweaty skin. Perspiration stings the eyes, nearly drowned by breathing in. That's when they skulk in Burnham's pitch dark, singing woeful dirge. Awaiting prey to sidle street loot, their very life they purge. Sucking core through every pore, gluting every nerve with pain. Body melts like candle wax, naked and teeming devil's reign. Then pull Numo to very place, these penumbras call Ebon Patch. Shadow Planet now has another visage within its clutch. And...
Ooh. Oh, and you just wrote it. Shadow Planet. So I like this. So one of the things where I like to go is on some of these prompts, because a lot of these, if I wrote to my own prompts, I would definitely go fiction with a play on what they're called or what they are. I think that I would definitely like to go in the fiction realm of like storytelling, kind of like this, by the inspiration of some of, that's why I put like terror birds. They're not really called terror birds. It's, you know, it's not really, you know, that's just their nickname, but I like it because it's inspiring to me if you want to write a scary poem. So I like the direction that you took. That is a gruesome picture. I'm trying to go down and I'm just like, oh my, it's not even a picture, it's a gift. So Rack, just imagine like someone just melting made of wax, gray gruesome.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen The Wax House? The Wax House movie?
Yeah, he conveyed the heat very well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's this part right here. Nearly drowned by breathing in. I guess like I can hear that gargling, that death rattle. You know, that's when they skulk in beams, pitch dark. I love those descriptions, by the way. Singing woeful dirge. I like the use of dirge. I really love the language in here. Awaiting prey to sidle street lights, their very life they purge. I thought it was really, really done well. And I like the rhyme. I love when dark is done in rhyme. I mean, I say I love everything, and I really do. But there's a sinister to dark rhyme that I just, it's like these dark fairy tales. I don't know. I just really, they make me smile. I'm a sick person. But then this part, the images of the body melts like candle wax, and I'm describing the picture to Rack like you didn't do a good enough job, and obviously he's, he's like, yes, guy, I got it. It was in the poem. I can't agree with that more. And I like how you dropped little things with the ebon. You brought in ebon, of course. And then there was the pitch dark. So you threaded the shadow throughout the piece, that darkness, and I liked that as well. And then obviously bringing right into the shadow planet now has another. I like how you brought that in too, and you brought in a little bit of like a dark fiction into the storytelling, and this is quite dark, quite scary, and the video of the shadow planet is not scary at all. You know, this is quite scary. I would imagine this being you know, if this was happening, definitely scarier than the shadow planet video in and of itself. Really well done. Great imagination. And yes, it's a cheesy 70 gift, but we love them. We love the cheese. So
yes.
So yes. What is the Devil's Ring? Yes. I haven't seen it. Can you tell me before I get any comments? Or
It's a very cheesy horror flick from the 70s starring Ernest Borgnine and William Shatner. I don't know.
Shatner.
Yeah, it has to do with devil worshiping, and at the end, everybody that worships the devil melts like candle wax for some reason in the rain.
They were allergic to water like the Wicked Witch? Is that?
Yeah, it is.
Apparently. Excellent. I'm melting. Raconteur, what do you think? I know you love it, but you can tell him.
Oh,
I
do. First of all, just because it's Stephen, when he mentions the heat, the first thing I'm picturing is the swamp ass. That when that bead of sweat that goes down your back, you know, tickles the top. That's just because it's Stephen. You know, he doesn't have to say it, but he's implying it. Even if he's not implying it, he's implying it because it's Stephen. But the idea of the creeping shadow, though, and enveloping stuff as it goes, that he put that thought in the end, the way that he worded that. You know, again, not having to say what he was talking about, he really illustrated it well, because, you know, the whole show don't tell. He really conveyed that, because, you know, it gave me the image of the shadow as it creeps along and swallowing things, adding it to its clutch, you know. So beautiful. And the whole thought of it was fantastic, you know, the heat and the candle wax and the melting. I mean, this was great. And it's funny that, you know, you mentioned the singing too, because, you know, I my whole thought was of a voice, you know, going into the darkness and not going anywhere when I did my poem. So we both kind of had the same thought as far as darkness went. I really appreciated that.
You're right.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I feel like we're easily distracted today. Allie, what do you think?
I said that, like, the gift really caught my attention and was not something that I've seen before. And, Stephen, there were so many interesting words, like, within your poem that I even had to Google some words, which I never, ever have to do. So, you did a very good job.
Thank you, Allie.
Thank you, Allie. Excellent. Naked and Teeming Devil's Reign. I kind of want to see the movie now.
Well, you know, you're not old enough to know Ernest Borgnine from McHale's Navy, but that's how far back he goes in my memory. So there was an old TV series. So when you say Ernest Borgnine, I have a very specific picture of him. He's probably young in this movie. But, you know, putting him opposite William Shatner, I'm cringing.
Well, he was the voice for, what's his name in SpongeBob, the superhero. Not Barnacle Boy, but the other guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. What was his name?
I can't
think
of it.
The guy with the starfish on his face.
Yeah. Barnacle Boy was done by Tim Conway.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah. I can't think of what his name was.
He's got a very catchy voice. If you, when you hear it, you know it's him. There's no hiding.
Yeah.
It's him.
Mermaid man. We were like 2 seconds apart. Mermaid man.
Yeah. Mermaid man. That's
Mermaid man and Barnacle boy. Oh my goodness. Well, it was an excellent poem, Stephen. I appreciate you taking the time to write it and stopping by. As always, I appreciate you. And I want you to plug some shows.
Oh, yeah. Hold on 1 second.
Mortuary of Shadows.
Well,
yeah,
if
it's okay with you, I'd like you to go to Monday, if that's okay.
Okay, we'll go.
Just skip over
Monday.
Saturday. I'll do Saturday later. Just skip, and then just go to Monday.
All right. Let's see. Our next show is tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern. It is the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow, and we're looking at Agnes Cecil once again. Our monthly visit with Agnes Cecil. Kay found about a dozen more paintings from that wonderful watercolor artist to write to. Check those out. There is no movement of sound this week. They will return next week with Roy Orbison. Let's see, something different to request is Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's My Little Baby as we pay tribute to Jacques Cousteau. quotes from his writing to write to. Check those out. And what is the Mortuary of Shadows next week? Oh, yes. Next week on the Mortuary of Shadows, Monday, 7:30 p.m., it is the book and the movie, The Grey. Starring Liam Neeson.
Oh, is that movie?
Yep. We have quotes from the book and the movie to write to. Check it out. It's we don't have a Kali Ma button in here, but it's a hard one.
Kali Ma. You can do it.
I am going to
take some time. I'm definitely taking some time to watch that movie. You had me at Liam Neeson. It's on my to-do list, and I will take some time this weekend. It's been a little crazy for me. There's been a lot of stuff going on, but I'm going to watch that film, whether it's the last thing I do. I have tons of birthdays in April. I've got both my moms, my goddaughter, my best friend, and I've got a lot of chaos happening with people. They're all chaotic. But I'm going to tell them, yeah. Like, listen, I'm off this weekend and I'm watching this film. So, whether it's the last thing I do. Yeah. I'm excited about it.
I got to shift gears for a second. My early memories, you'll get a kick out of this, of Jacques Cousteau, Stephen. Dean Martin, when he had his variety show, he's sitting in the middle of the stage in a rowboat, and a scuba diver comes out of the water, you know, with his name tag on or whatever. He takes a look at the name tag. He looks at the camera. He goes, "Cousteau, I always thought your last name was Strap." See, that's one of those slow burns. No, not really. It takes a minute to think about it because I when I first heard it, I'm like, what? And then I'm like, oh, God. Jacques Cousteau. I always thought your last name was Strap.
Yeah,
you said it without saying it, you know?
I still didn't get it. I'm terrible. All right, guys, before we get too off topic, Stephen, are you leaving now? Because I want to say thank you.
Yes, I do have to go.
Okay, well, have a hopeful night.
Hello.
Tell Kay I said hello.
Yes, we'll do.
Okay.
Have
fun.
Later, Steve.
Look at Rax, like, my buddy's going. My phone buddy.
My buddy's running
Allie.
The show. Don't worry about it.
I know. Well, I think you and Steven have more in common when it comes to actors and films than we do. Like, you guys go back and forth, like, this one. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know who you're talking about. Allie, which This is the first time I haven't talked about my stuff, but I think I'm going to put yours down too, because I don't know if
okay.
you have school or what's going on. So
I do have school.
Did you went to the yeah? So did you go to the you went to the Disappearing Lakes, right?
Yes.
Also, it's a school of fish.
It's a school of fish.
It has nothing to do with fish, but and it gets very sad towards the end, but it's all good.
I like things that rip my heart out, so it's okay.
Okay. Disappearing lakes. The lakes come and go, full of water one moment, gone the next. The water within them shines so, so brightly, makes people happy. But then the water goes away, the lakes turn to dirt. These lakes keep people on their feet. Much like with disappearing water, losing it makes people sad. The same goes for people that other people have lost. I know that the water in the lakes comes back, but people don't. Perhaps all the people that have passed go for a swim in the disappearing lakes. End poem.
Hmm. That beautiful metaphor. I liked how you went with the lakes being the metaphor into a larger... Is someone playing music in the background?
I have a sound machine on, but I'm not even close to it.
Okay. I can definitely hear it. It's beautiful, but I can definitely hear it through the thing. Yeah, I love the metaphor that you went through and how you use the idea. So one of the – so I usually put out three topics to do, and one of them was the Disappearing Lakes. And like I said, I will go into it a bit after. But this one, I liked how you went with it. With the metaphor of course, passing and death. And I like how you kind of go through, it reminds me of that Mary Poppins 2, which I was very hesitant to watch because I was such a big fan. But there's a song called Where the Lost Things Go. And it's speaking about death, to the place where lost things go. And I thought it was such a wonderful and poignant song, and it kind of was reminiscent to me of this because you speak of going for a swim in the disappearing lake and how perhaps the idea of when people pass on, they're together and they're at peace, and I liked that. And then I also, with the much like the disappearing water, losing it, makes people sad. The same goes with people. Oh, that isn't the part where I wanted. That is beautiful too. But where you speak of, you know, the lakes fill up again. You know, our hearts might find love again, but it still will always hold the loss of those specific people. So there were little metaphors throughout, and then there was an overall internal metaphor, which I thought you did well with the lakes. Excellently
Thank
done.
You. I must say, if you like heart-wrenching poems, call in or listen to Deb's show on Monday if you're not busy. Because the poem reading Monday night, yeah, this upcoming Monday, is very heart-wrenching.
Okay. I do try to call Deb every Monday, although I've missed her last two Mondays. I've been
if
very
not,
terrible
I can send
about
it
that.
To you.
No, I will be making it to that one. I
okay.
do love her Monday night shows. Rack, what do you think?
Yeah, that was a great idea. With the lakes and whatnot. I'm sorry. See, when you're trying to navigate and get around, people usually look for landmarks, and it's hard to pick a landmark that's going to disappear on you because you expect the lake to still be there. So the idea of it disappearing and still looking for it, you know, the memory of it, going to swim in it and it's not there, definitely feels like losing a person. So I really like that metaphor and that thought. You know, it's a very complex concept, you know, that we're talking about, considering, you know, it's there, it's gone, and relating that to an emotion was a great job.
Thank you. And Sky, if you don't mind, can I explain the meaning, like, behind, like, the connection between, like, people and the lakes real quick?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
So, not when I had written this, because I just recently wrote it, but last Tuesday night, I lost a friend to suicide. Very sudden, very unexpected. So a lot of my poems the past couple of days have either been very sad and not like me, or have had some connection to that. So when I was writing the Sky Show and, like, the disappearing stuff, I was like, this would be an awesome time to include, like, the fact that, like, people are gone but never actually gone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think writing can often be very cathartic in through everything that life just kind of throws at us, definitely. And it's a good way, it's a good venue and a good avenue to kind of express emotions when it comes to like that. I am sorry to hear about your loss. And, you know, it is a very good venue to express in all these emotions that instead of internalizing them. So.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I do have
all
school
right.
tomorrow. And I
thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I will see you on
and I hope you have
the show on Monday, and I'll talk
you
to you soon,
will.
Mac.
Good night.
Good night.
Night. Okay, Rack and Poor. You want to hear about the Tress to be Shadow Planet?
Yeah, please.
Of
please,
course.
Please.
Say, please tell me. I'm so excited. So, one of the
that's sincere. I'm being sincere. I'm not, you know, patronizing you. Come on.
Oh, I
that's
think
that's why
you
I show up. I enjoy the trivia.
I
throw it back
you
at
were
people.
Patronizing me. I don't think you were. So, I found this really cool video. I want to give this video a shout out. I'm not playing it. But I want to give this guy a shout out. Hold on, I gotta. It's going.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No, I don't even know what that is. Mr. DeMayo. All right, Mr. DeMayo. I found him on YouTube, and I absolutely love him. I'm assuming he's a teacher. But it's Mr. DeMayo. I think he is a teacher. But he does these really cool videos, and he goes into science, planets. I mean, he touches on everything. They're really quirky. I think for me, they would be like a cross between Bill – and this is total compliment, by the way. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, and the Magic School Bus. Did you ever see the Magic School Bus when you were younger?
Of course, yeah.
Well, yeah, and then, of course, everybody knows Bill Nye. It kind of reminds me of, like, a cross between those two, but something also very new and inventive, and something that I think adults would, like, you know those things that are geared towards children, but adults enjoy them anyway because they have, like, pop culture references, and, like, it's just something that adults might enjoy. My godchildren love them. They learn a lot. They're pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really quirky. But so I posted a video to reference the Shadow Planet. And I wouldn't say that a lot of, like, things that I watch, documentaries and things like that, are often under the ocean. So, and I'm still not a pro at that, but that is usually my go-to. That's usually my venue. I like to learn about ocean stuff. So I kind of was like, you know what, I'm going to go out into the space a little bit because I don't tend to go too far venturing. And it was really cool to learn about all these new planets. And the one that we did for tonight was the Tress to be the Shadow Planet. And, of course, the Shadow Planet is like a nickname. And so it is really Tress to be. And it's an exoplanet. And it's located 750 light years away from the solar system. And it was found in 2011 as the darkest known exoplanet, reflecting less than 1% of light that hits it. So when the sun hits it, it only reflects 1%. And it's really weird, too, because it's very close to the sun, and usually the closer you are, the more sun you'll reflect because you're closer to the sun. But it is very, very close, and yet it does not. The planet's mass and the radius indicate that it's a gas giant with a bulk composition similar to Jupiter. So, I mean, it is much like that. So it's very, very hot. And like I said, it's very close to the sun. So it's kind of cool. And, yeah, so we learned a little bit about the shadow planet, and that was one of the things.
So based on that, I'm surprised you don't know who Neil deGrasse Tyson is, if I'm getting his name right. He made an appearance on Big Bang Theory. He's the one that downgraded Pluto from a planet. He's the reason why Pluto's not a planet. And that was that was Sheldon's reaction. I like Pluto. So he was like,
know,
you know, he was on the enemy list for a while.
I know. This is the guy. This is so maybe I've blocked him out of my memory, you know, because I'm like, nope, I don't like that guy.
He's got a way of speaking that kind of puts people in their place. He's like, you know, brilliant, but he doesn't like lord it over people. He's just like, you know, this is how it is, and he explains things in a lovely way.
Hmm. Yeah, see, what I told you, though, I don't follow too much about space, so I'm not like the guru of space, so I probably wouldn't have known that name. But I do know that someone downgraded Pluto, and I wasn't happy about it. I haven't listened to it yet, but my best friend, she's not happy about it either, and my goddaughter loves parodies. I don't know where she gets that from, but she loves parodies. And there's this new movie, Encanto, and there's a song that goes, "We don't talk about Bruno." And so someone did a cover of that, but you know where I'm going with this. Already, you know. And it goes, and the parody goes, "We don't talk about Pluto." I haven't actually heard it, but I've been hearing all about it. I might have to Google it later, but because sometimes when you talk about Pluto, it just makes people angry.
People learn the mnemonics. The memory mnemonics are like memorizing that the planet's in order. You got to drop the last letter.
No, I think I'll just keep it.
Pluto.
Yeah. So that was one of our prompts. And so if you're really interested in learning more about planets, and I have a couple of them coming out, because I am going to use, obviously the diamond planning it, and there's one like the pink planet. There's all this fun stuff. It was cool. Mm-hmm. It was cool. And for someone who doesn't really venture into the space, the space documentaries, I don't usually venture that way. It was cool to learn about some stuff on that site for the YouTuber that did it. I was like, oh, this is cool.
I want to say back in the
70s. With the fishes, you know?
I want to say back in the 70s, there was a line of toys where each alien was representative of what planet they came from. So there was like, you know, one was from Jupiter, one was from Venus, and they each had their own, you know, traits that was supposed to reflect some of the traits of the planet. So it was interesting, without going into the technical stuff, way of introducing kids to, you know, the planets. So I thought that was really cool. But swimming with the fishes would be cool too.
Yeah, I like planets too. It's just not usually my go-to, you know.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
I don't even know what you're singing, but you go for it. Hey, while I'm doing something, do you want to plug your show? You have a show or something?
I've got a show next week, actually. My show's a week after yours, and I still have no idea what I'm really going to do about the topic. I'm thinking colloquialisms, but I don't know exactly how to word it. There's an expression that I'm trying to come up with, and I haven't gotten around to even trying to look it up because, you know, things are a little slow when I do stuff like that, so it gets frustrating very easily. You know, there's things that people say that you don't understand, but, you know, and depending on where you come from, you can almost tell who's saying it by how they say it. You know, people, when they refer to an elevator as a lift and a trunk as a boot, you know they're not from here. You know, I love things like that.
Yeah, me too, especially because I talk to a lot of English people. I actually was just, it's really weird that you say that, because I was just telling a student of mine, I was trying to get their attention, and it's pretty, she always says, it's British Tuesday, and I was started talking about, you know, different types of, you know, British lingo, and that one was specific, actually. I said, hey, you know, what a trunk is called? It's called a boot. So I do. And for a long time, because I don't know if it's because I hang out with people that are British a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I talk to British people, or that I read a lot of British authors, because I do, I read quite a lot of British authors.
Mm-hmm.
When I write comments sometimes, people thought I was British, because I would always say, it's brilliant, this is brilliant, you know, and brilliant is, brilliant. I do color, how do you know that? I do spell color that way. I do. Sometimes I
follow
I do.
You. I follow you.
I follow you. Yeah. One of my poems, The Yellow Rose, was about Britain, and I made a point to color it that way because I was paying homage to a little bit of British culture stuff. But I know. But once you say brilliant, everybody thinks. I think everything should have a U in it. I think they spell it right. I have to side with them on that. I like it. But do I have to side with them on that? And a bumper shoot.
Umbrella.
I feel like an umbrella should be called a bumper shoot, because I feel like it's more fun. You know. So there's a couple things that, you know, I really can get on board with. So. I forget what the front of their window shield was called, but that one kind of got me off.
Yeah, the windscreen.
Like, yeah, the windscreen. Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I can get on board with that, but I can get on board with the boot.
Yeah.
But, it's fun. And you don't even have to go out of country to do that. Like I was saying, you know, you come into New England and you say wicked,
uh-huh.
and, you know, and we all say wicked. Everybody's like, what are you talking about? That's wicked cold. You know it's a New Englander. Like, you know.
Wicked to
that they, even if they're, yeah, they, you know that they're, it's coming up. That's a cool idea. And, well, I'm sorry,
yeah.
Where is that?
Where is what?
Is that the show? Is that on LCN?
It's Team of Voices. That's going to be off the rack.
Oh, okay, off the rack. So it's next Tuesday?
Yeah. The expression, yes, at 11. The expression that comes to mind, it has to do with, you know, the way Irish people speak sometimes. And there's an expression that goes, the Irish can tell you to go to hell in such a way that you look forward to the trip. Something like that is part of the expression that kind of goes along with that thought, because it all has to do with, you know, the way that you say something, and sometimes, you know, it's just a matter of just wording it in a way that you know people are going to understand, but not everyone is going to. So, you know, or that light bulb moment that takes a minute for it to sink in, and they don't, you know, you've walked away and they realize, did he just tell me to go to hell, you know? And that's 10 minutes later already.
Oh my gosh! That would be me anyway.
Well, it's not necessarily, you know, intellect specific. It's just a way of saying it with, and you know, it's like the song that I do that's kind of, you know, sad, but, you know, it sounds like it's an upbeat song. So if you're not paying attention, it's like it sounds happy. But then if you listen to the words, it's like, oh, that's not what it's about at all. You know, it's very contradictory, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. I could do that with some of the poems, of what tone you read it in, but
exactly,
you have to look further into the content. Yeah.
And you smile, and you smile as you say it.
Yeah. That's quite. But you know, and it also goes down to that whole thing where, and we're getting off topic, but that's good because this is really random stuff. but that idea of, you know, so much of what you perceive or under, no, I wouldn't say perceive,
yep,
but so much of what you understand is not the actual words, but it's people's tone, body language, you know, all those things play a higher role
too,
in what you're actually.
The other thing too, you know, you're talking about the letter, you're talking about the letter U, when you spell a word, it affects the cadence of a poem in a lot of ways too, because, you know, what is it? Again can be pronounced again. So, you know, it changes the rhyme.
Yeah.
And you know, that all depends on where you come from. So someone will read it and go, this doesn't rhyme. And someone else will be insisting, yes, it does. You know? So, you know, there's that as well. So, you know, don't be so quick to judge. That's what I love about
rhyme. That's what always gets me. So one of my friends, she lives in Yorkshire, England, and their accent is really different. So, and they actually get out like a bunch of words. They just totally throw out a lot of words. And so when she speaks, it's so much different from when she writes. And I'm like, how do you even translate that? Like, how do you even do that? But one thing that I find amazing is when it comes to rhyming. So she was like, this rhymes. And I'm like, no, this doesn't rhyme. She goes, well, the way that I speak, it does rhyme. So then we're getting down to we get into iambic pentameter, and you go into the complete count and the stress count. The stress count, if you're looking at a stressed and unstressed word, will take into consideration accents where they put the stresses is very different. So it's crazy. It's a little crazy.
But it's really cool at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy and cool. I agree, yeah. Well, but I'm looking forward to that show. That sounds fun. If it's at 11, I may give you a SoundCloud.
I know. Too early. Too late for you.
Sometimes I do stay up late, but it's very rare, and I'm usually kicking myself after. And I usually end up doing nothing the next day. But we'll see. But sometimes I do stay up a little bit late if I get home really, really late, it's a better chance. But if I'm in early, then I'm probably asleep. That's a pretty cool idea.
Bless your heart.
I've done nothing on AP for like 2 weeks. I actually have to do stuff. I've been like just running around, I am gonna do while you plug to that show. I'm just gonna plug my show for Saturday, and then I'm gonna talk to you about the second. And I do have some other poems, and I have a couple of SoundClouds, and I have your poem. But let me just. So we are going forward on storyboards, and this is at a poetic site. So I'm on every Saturday night at 8 p.m. on Poetic Slice of Life. And we are doing the Lord of the Rings 1978 film because it's April, and I've started a April tradition for myself to bring a little bit of J.R.R. Tolkien just because I really like Lord of the Rings and everything, everything Tolkien does. So it's a fun film. You could write to any of the themes, scenes, characters, quotes. And as always, I always give a outlet quote. You can go anywhere you want, even if it's off topic, as long as it's on topic to the quote. So if you've never seen or read Lord of the Rings, not really your thing, but you want to participate, you still can, because I give people that out to express themselves how they feel they want to or need to through poetry. So there you go.
See, now, if you're writing a poem about Lord of the Rings, it could be about the planet Saturn.
See, that is really creative. I like that kind of creativity. I'm like, okay, how did you get to point A to point B? And if I don't get it, but you can explain it, I'm in. I'm like, that's cool.
Okay, so a poem about big birds gets terror birds. Sesame Street.
If you have like this fear of Big Bird, that's good. I mean, if that's where you want to go, that's where you want to go. That's fine with me. That's so funny. Oh my goodness. Okay, so what I'm gonna do before I talk about the next topic. Someone did a shadow acrostic. So this was his way, like you're just talking about. This is his creative avenue to make the topic relevant. So since we just talked about the shadow planet, I'm going to do Titus, and then I'm going to talk about the second thing. Let's see. I don't know why, but I have about 15 tabs open right now. I don't quite know what's happening, but here we go. So this is Titus, and yeah, so here we go. I'm going to press play.
Titanic. The beautiful final scene. To relive the depths. Recall a pain from which another known spirit is encouraged through love to bring to surface an account for alibi trapped by means of time, salvaging memories of the past to persist appearing trustworthy. Then we will once again meet up in that arena. Now I know how hot flushes ran, the way my heart would deepen in order to consume of what remains of the color rust, as you and I can be uncontrollably urged to hide an alluring sound around Titanic. Thoughts appear to be floating incoherently, collecting of the thoughts held high above reforming balustrades, and with this sensitive touch, either that or I am dreaming or screaming at you to get out of here. Drawn towards life's lone ligature, descent was nigh on transferred, regardless of fate, that the oblivious has immersed into one another, ease from the tomb it was birthright to our belonging, love's replace aquatic in a sense, the truth of love surrounding us, 'twas like the sea maiden voyage, it was first we met, her eyes were life's momentum, by hologram this ascension with the womb, the convening tomb escapes notice of one's panic, but as we are led, one fearful embrace attracting me no less than one would clutch, slipping away as inertia uses a consciousness to forewarn death's arrival. Survival does in lieu to appreciate the whereabouts your beauty has on me, to share a besot, inseparable vastness. The feeling it overwhelms you with ups the ante. Flooding adds immunity to our meeting, a soul relish that space itself uses, this greeting as an awareness only, for it celebrates impromptu lanterns, with their glistening auroras beckoning a charmed spectral, furrowed down where dips and churns inaugurate a sea surf relief. It brings with it the great yawn, a large ship drinking yearn with euro, nurtures as a way of acceptance, and bringing about a form of passion, acquainted with what's in the middle, as the middle bellowed an aria, leaving the song of the sea to ship the solemn promise down gradual. Sentiment leaves a sky where sea is. Horizons are to fill their portals, causing rift. I can hardly drift away without purpose, death be epic. Events over time, causing turmoil, then they are remembered less severe. Never to have loved this much before, then to find your life is on ration even as I wake. My love and I dream on, this life raft death shall take.
Excellent piece. Excellent. I loved, by the way, the background music, too. That was really nice. Shadow acrostics are not easy to do because acrostics, of course, I mean, they're easy to do, I guess, because you can just do whatever you want. But to make them flow, I mean, really, you can just do it. But
yeah.
To make them flow in a way where you're hiding the fact that it sounds natural. Yeah, it's really hard to do naturally, to just do acrostic in itself, because a lot of people, when you're having to start with certain letters or certain, you know, in
yeah.
beginning a sentence, it's like, A, you know, you want to say apple, A, apple is great. Pineapple is, it's really easy to go off topic, to match the letter in general with just an acrostic and a shadow acrostic, where you're putting the word that you're writing at the beginning of every line of the stanza, but then because it's a shadow acrostic, you're also ending with the same letter. So if you spell Titanic, going all the way down in the front, T-I-T-A-N-I-C, and those are the first letters, you also have to end on those letters, which means the last letter in the last word has to also mimic T-I-T-A-N-I-C, which isn't always easy. But even furthermore, and I know I'm talking a lot about structure, but I'm pretty blown away with the structure. So not only did he do that in one word, he went through every stanza, kept it going, which I think is just phenomenal. When he goes to Titanic, the dream, and he keeps going on to this in every stanza, it's really quite marvelous. He's got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stanzas all done in shadow acrostic and all spelling out a sentence. I think it's phenomenal structurally, and I'll move on to the poem now. I'm just sitting here like, oh, look at this. It's really, really cool how he kept it going. Obviously, I think he did a wonderful tribute into the emotion behind the piece. Flooding adds immunity to our meeting, our soul relish, that space itself. Use this greeting as an awareness only. I really, really love the language, how he kind of got into the he gripped it. I think it's a topic that has been done a lot. It has been done a lot. And when you can bring a subject and that has been done many times, films, documentaries. Obviously, if anybody says the Titanic, I would find it very hard to believe that, to know that, for someone to say, no, I don't know what the Titanic is. It's just very hard to, but to bring it so soulfully and so, I guess I would say, intimately, personally, and still keep that grip and still keep that, newness to something that he's written in the perspective of his creation. It's a feat, and it's a very, very well done. And it was a very wonderfully told, as always. And great language, and I'm still can't get over the shadow sonnet. Keep going, keep going. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, it's really, And it's like I'm not just gonna do one stanza. I'm gonna do many stanzas with many words. Excellent, excellent piece, Titus. Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, like you're saying, six isn't enough to make your point. So I'm gonna extend it. And like you say, the structure is phenomenal in the sense that my first experience with acrostics, you know, I was trying to ponder and talk to some other people and be like, you know, what makes a good acrostic? And the problem I find is most people, they tend to want to make it into an acronym. And that's what you were talking about. And then that makes everything like short and choppy and out of context and not necessarily cohesive. And like you said, if you didn't say that this was a shadow acrostic, especially since I can't see, you know, it completely wouldn't have gone noticed. It would have been like, you know, just a poem, a beautiful poem for that matter. But, you know, so this is a level of accomplishment that, you know, a lot of us aspire towards and we'll never be able to echo. And then, you know, again, the topic. Just I don't know, you know, what possessed him to pick this one as when he wrote it. I don't know when he wrote it, but I could easily, you know, relate this to you know, the thought of the boat going under the water to the drain, the sinkholes that you're talking about on the disappearing lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though it's a boat that's disappearing, not a lake. You know, so, you know, there's that. And then, you know, and then the other thing, the idea that you mentioned, too, is, you know, Titanic is a love story. So he's got that in there. He's got the longing in there. He's got all the elements of like, you know, oh, if you're going to write about the Titanic, you have to mention this and you have to, you know, talk to that and all of that. And he does in, you know, in his way, in his style, his voice. It's, you know, gorgeous.
Yeah. So it says, so Rack, just so that you know, so there's six stanzas broken up, and each one is a shadow acrostic. And then it says, if you read it, Titanic. So it says Titanic - the dream, beautiful final scene. And that's what it says.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, yeah. brilliant. Really well done. I think I've done one shadow acrostic. It was about a children's one about an owl, and it was. And because it's not like it's harder because you have to match it with the end letter.
Yeah.
If you were just matching the first word on the last word, if you were just trying to match the last word and start it with the same letter at the beginning of the word, I feel like that's easier. But I found it harder when I did it because you're matching the last letter. So if you go, okay, sound, bound, but those are, you could just say all the letters that start with, all the words that start with S. But you have to do it like all the words that end in S or end in I.
Yeah.
And I guess S isn't so bad. Because you can just go plurals, but when you start getting into like the E's and the I's and the B's, yeah, it's making my head kind of sore right now, actually. You did it wonderfully. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, thank you for that, Titus. I always appreciate you and your work, of course. Yeah. Okay. So, talking about disappearing lakes, Rack, you. Wonderful intro to the next one we did, which was The Disappearing Lake. So I'm going to talk a little bit about those. Did I do everything that I was supposed to do? Yes, I did. Okay. So I put up a prompt. It was a video, obviously, on YouTube, because that is really what we're doing, going down a tube. And it was about Central Oregon's Cascade Mountains. There is a lake that mysteriously drains down a hole. It fills up to capacity each winter, quickly starts to drain every spring, and it transforms itself into a quiet meadow in summer. Lost Lake, near the small town of the Sisters Hoodoo Ski Resort, that's where it is, and what ends up happening is that, well, this is what geologists speculate, is that there's a lava tube created during a period of intense volcanic activity over 12,000 years ago, and the tube has formed a slow drain that feeds into the rock-hard honeycomb of old lava underfoot. Under the lake, the water running into a tributary of the Mackenzie River and surrounding aquifer, eventually ending up 6 miles away in Clear Lake. So it's always draining, but obviously the winter there's melting snow, there's more water, and in the springtime it just kind of drains out all the way. I think it's cool. There's this thing, it reminds me of, I don't know why, but it reminds me of this, what is that? There's a story, a tall tale that's in this book. It was a film too. Whistle Stop Cafe, Fried Green Tomatoes. Thank you. All right, Fried Green Tomatoes. They talked about the lake, the birds sitting in the lake, and then the lake freezes and they take it away. And there's like this. So when I seen this, I was like, oh, this is really weird. That's really weird. Like having this, and it's not a little lake either. This is a really big, big lake. And then one day walking out there, and it's this big lake, and then all of a sudden it's nothing. Like, that's freaky. That's weird. It's weird how things work out. Yeah. I would be afraid to get sucked in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure. I don't think it drains that fast. Yeah, I don't think it drains that fast, but, I don't know. I wouldn't want to. I probably wouldn't go swimming in there. So I'm sure it's fine. I didn't look up any information on that. I think it's very slow draining, and I don't think it sucks it down like a whirlpool, but I still would be, I don't know, I'm a pretty paranoid person, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably wouldn't. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't expect it to be an undertow in a lake, so,
Yeah, like I said, I don't know if it's that consuming where it does that, but I don't know. I wouldn't want to.
If it's strong enough to suck up an entire lake, it's got to be pretty strong.
Well, it's like a slow drain. It's not sucking it up, but yeah, I'm not going there. I'm not swimming in that. I'd be like, am I over the hole? Am I over the drain hole? Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's the thing. You wouldn't have to be over it. You'd get sucked into it. So, wherever it is, it's gonna find you.
Like, you're not helping my paranoia.
Okay.
Deb got a lot of information. Maybe Deb has found this out, because her poem has got a lot of information in it. But I'm not going to read the poem until later. She might... No, I don't like to read anything on Deb. I like to keep it a surprise. I just clicked on it to see which one she did. And I've seen lots of pictures, so I don't want to go there. But she may or may not make it, but I want to give her plenty of time. So like 20 of, if she's not here, I'll read it. But I don't want to read it before then, because she likes reading to me and I like her reading to me. So, let's see. I still have yours. Don't worry. I haven't forgot about you. Pretty Bird left me a message, but she didn't drop a poem, so I'm not sure. She wrote Terror Boards and Darkness. Oh, how you tease my latent mind to stir. That was it. Apparently she liked it. But let's see. Okay, we have got Lockdown Lars. So we're going to do that one. And then I'm going to talk about the third prompt. And then I will drop yours, just so that you know where we're going. And then I have one about a shadow. I didn't really write her. I don't usually write for my own prompts, but I have one that could go to it. And then we can just spin off from there. Let's see. Lockdown Lars. He went general as well to the shadow planet. Trust to be. And I'll read this because there's no SoundCloud. So, which is okay, too. I don't mind reading. This is The Others by Lockdown Lars. Others in the universe, they say, the Orion and Clave radio have found located trillions of parsecs away. We have detected artificial sound. A star with planet called Earth, the other side of Milky Way zone. It seems another sentient birth, and therefore we are not alone. Until we can travel the speed of light, we cannot exploit the meanings gain, staying as a twinkle in the night, an aspiration they must remain. We wonder about their technology. Like us, have they had interplanet wars? Have they yet transcended biology or mastered life-giving vapors? We, Orion, others, look forward to this meeting until they send you this greeting. End poem. I like that little bit of sci-fi. Yeah, we all like, yeah, until they send the greeting, then we're all scared. I like this. And, you know, I can't agree more. There's no way, you know, and everybody has their own opinions, and I think we get into debates and... Yeah, there's just no way. I think it's very self-centered to believe that we are the only life out there. I mean, that's my own personal opinion, so I wouldn't say self, you know. Everybody can have their own opinion, but in my view, with all the galaxy, all those, it's just impossible for me to say, no, there's absolutely no other life. I mean, look how many stars there are. I mean, there's got to be something, you know, like there's just got to be. It's just, to me, it just doesn't make sense to out say absolutely no. I mean, we can't say definitively yes, but, I mean, like, let's look at the odds of that. I mean, so I like this. I like how he went through, and he speaks about the curiosity. I think that's most, because people are curious. They're like, oh, well, what is this? Yeah. And you always see in movies and in books and in films, there's an array of different portrayals of alien life. There's an array. There's tons of it. I mean, even when you speak about Superman, Superman's an alien. You know? So we've got the idea of you know, fantastical fantasy alien Superman, and then we've got fantasy fantastic, and we've got little green men, and then you've got like sci-fi movies. You know, we've got so many different variations of what they could be, what technology would be. Oh, Poetic Slice of Life just did a film. Oh, you know what, I don't even remember what film it is now, and I can't was about the corn, and they came down. It had, oh, Signs. Signs. They just did the film Signs, and I just watched it for the first time. I don't know why, but I mean, you know, the movie with Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. And so that movie freaked me out. The aliens still are freak me out. But you know, you have all these array, and there's all these questions. And then it is a very curious thing, and especially I liked when he says down here, have they yet transcended biology and mastered life-giving vapors and this idea, and we're always curious until they send a greeting, and then it's like, hold up, let's get out all the stuff, let's unpack all our all our warfare, you know. This is cool. I liked how he kind of went on the view of, you know, sci-fi, alien life, and about how we want to explore, because, you know, we are continuously exploring. And I always complain about this because I'm like, we're so much out there, and yet we've only discovered like 5% of our own oceans. Like, we could have like really weird stuff down in the oceans.
Yeah.
We don't even know. We should put more. I feel like we should put more.
Effort.
You know, the budget. Yeah, we should put more of the budget trying to get deeper. But I mean, it's space, so I get it. Really well done. I appreciate it, Lockdown Lars, and really well done. And Rack, now that I've been talking for like 10 minutes, what do you think about the poem?
It's a broad topic, so that's why you were talking for 10 minutes. We could probably talk about it for another 20 and still not cover all of it. I mean, the idea of aliens and first contact is also, you know, it's based on our perceptions. You know, you talk about war, you know, they could not know what war is, you know, that their morals or whatever, they could think nothing about, you know, using people as feeding planets, you know, we're cows, we're sheep, we're nothing but food, you know, who the hell knows? You know, it's a totally different concept, you know, philosophy. It's everything goes out the window because they're alien. So, you know that expression is alien to me. You know, well, put that in context. You know, it's alien to them. You know, they don't know what disease is. They don't know necessarily. They don't know what colds are. They don't know what, you know, bio warfare is. You know, that could be the norm for them. You know, that could be how they fight. They blow boogers on each other, and that's what kills you. You know, their nose is at their fingertips. Who the hell knows? You know, I mean, everything goes out the window. It's a lovely thought. It opens up everything, you know. So it's one of those things that you know, you're not even limited by your imagination. You could get crazy. No physics, no nothing. It's all like, you know, that doesn't apply. They're farting helium, you know, and everyone around them talks in high squeaky voices. Who the hell knows? Their speech could be like, you know, dolphins. So it's crazy, you know, and like you said, you know, there's tons of movies out there. And again, to be relatable, I imagine, you know, it's not that people haven't thought of it. It's just, you know, they always tie it back to our concept of the universe, our view, you know. Even the stoners, when they talk about, wow, man, you know, I'm nothing more than a molecule on the fingernail of a giant, you know, and that how many worlds are on my fingernails, man. You know, it's the same kind of thought, you know. It's profound, but at the same time, it's like, you know, wow. I don't know. You got to be stoned to understand it. It's just one of those things. But yeah, the poem was great, though. Back to reality, like you said. Yeah, he did a great job. I enjoyed it very much, Lars. You know, the whole space idea. It was beautiful.
Excellent. Is there life? Is there not life? Yeah. I like it because we keep going. I do think we should do sometimes. I just want to go out of the bottom of the ocean. You know, I've seen, what is that movie,
uh-huh.
The Abyss? You've seen that movie, The Abyss?
Yeah.
Yeah. It
Michael
was like
Crichton.
The only alien movie where like it was really good. Yeah, it was like it had a happy ending. They were like good aliens. You know, it was really weird. And it was like, but they were down there in the depths of where we don't go. So we didn't even know they were there. Like there were aliens in the under the ocean. I've always loved that concept. I thought that was a really cool film.
I'd like to be under the sea.
All right, so no one wrote about terror birds. But I'm gonna, or never. No one wrote to that prompt, rather. But I'm gonna talk about them anyway. Sometimes I save it. I don't think I'm gonna save it. I'm not sure yet. But so these were really cool. I just love weird conversation starters. Like, hey, did you know there was this thing? And apparently, there's a film. I don't even know. There's a film called Terror Birds. With Sean Kane, I was just looking this up, and I don't know how accurate it is, really, but it's weird. But terror birds were in, let's talk about 3 to 10 feet birds, okay? 3 to 10
uh-huh.
feet. And they were an apex predator, So there was nothing killing them. And South America, of course, when, you know, South and North America kind of joined up, there was lots of migration for different animals. And because in North America there were a lot of big, big, fiercer predators, they kind of, like, they kind of wiped them out, really, when the lands joined together. Yeah, and it kind of went off. But still, if you think about it being an apex predator of South America, and they didn't have flight, so they didn't fly, but that is still – can you imagine standing next to a 10-foot bird? That's just – oh, my goodness. That is just – that's too much. I don't know. I don't know. So it was about 66 million years ago. And it was in the Cenozoic era. So, I mean it's pretty cool when you look at things that have kind of animals that have died up. I just like that. You know that's something I enjoy because I'm always looking that stuff up. And I usually go. Which one do I usually go? I usually don't go into this era. I usually go into the the Prozoic era. Is that what I'm doing? The one right before the dinosaurs. I always go into that one. So I went a little out of my zone here. Yeah. And I went a little bit different. So remember, I was complaining to you about that. I'm like, why do I always find things in this? I just like oversized animals, you know, that are just scary. Uh-huh. Like, remember the huge snakes? I don't know.
Yep.
There was a couple other things that I did that were like larger than life. Animals, yeah. I don't have too much more than that, I mean, information about that. It was a cool video. It really taught you some stuff. I think it was done by those What If people, and I really like them. Oh, no, this is a different video. The time the terror birds invaded. It's pretty cool. I would definitely, if you're just bored one day, just look up terror birds. They're pretty cool to
ostriches are flightless birds.
Yeah, they're close. Huh?
No, I was going to say, I think the dodo was a flightless bird also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dodo bird. Maybe we should do that sometime.
What was the bird? I think, what was it, in Lewis Carroll?
It was a dodo bird.
Oh, it was a dodo bird. Okay.
Yeah. Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little different in the book. We knew that was coming. I'm going to pretend that you... That scene was a little bit different in the book, but
just a wee bit.
I feel like that always comes out of my mind. It's almost compulsionary, and I just can't help it. It's like
compulsory.
Oh, yeah. Compulsory, yeah. It's compulsory at this point.
Yes.
It was different from the book. Yeah, we know, Ty. You know what's not the same.
You know, that's why we have producers and directors, and they have their own vision. It's not marketable that way.
But you know what amazes me is when they cut a story that can make more money by making it into series. And you know, I think they're doing that more now because they're realizing that sells. If they elongate the material. But I don't think they did it much. Oh, you know what I just found out? It's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about it. Is they're coming out with a Percy Jackson and the Olympians. They're doing like a mini-series on Disney. I'm hoping it's good. When they did a series of unfortunate events, you know, the film was okay. And if I had never read the books, I'm a fan of Jim Carrey, and I think he did a good job. And I probably wouldn't have been, like, bitter about it if I didn't love the book so much. But I'm like, the movie was really good. It really was. But because I liked the book so much. I was a little like, it wasn't one of those where I was like, I hate this, they destroyed it. It wasn't one of those. It was just like, tried to cram three books into one movie. And I was like, oh, they really could have made this. They could have really extended it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Netflix came out with the show was brilliant. I love the show. And they did like, each book was two episodes. So it was 1 hour episodes. So it was 2 hours for each book, which is basically like a movie, right? And they did such a good job. I was really happy with them. I was really happy with what they did. And I don't say that very often when it comes to books.
that was Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief was one of them.
That's the one they're just coming out with. I haven't watched it yet. It's coming out on Disney Plus. They're going to do like a show. And I did see the film. I've seen the Percy Jackson film. I'd never watched part one and part two because it's a struggle for me sometimes when I want to watch. Like, I loved the Maze Runner series, and I watched the first one, and they changed a lot. And I was like, I don't even know how they would shift from the books. So I've been hesitant. I don't want to hate it, you know. I've been hesitant to watch it.
Yeah.
So they did come out with the Percy Jackson, and they came out the Sea of Monsters. And I think they did a part three, but I never watched them.
Mm-hmm.
When they start messing up hair color, I start to get a little... So I'm like, that's like the easiest thing to match. You know, I start to get kind of crazy. But it was like that too. It was a good film. It was a good film.
Luigi's supposed to be green, damn it.
Huh? Yeah. You're talking about Harry Potter.
Luigi's supposed to be green, damn it.
Oh, Luigi. Oh, my goodness. I loved that Super Mario Brothers movie. I was just actually talking about that. That was a good movie. I forget who was hot in it. It had that guy. Oh. That really annoying guy, but I really liked him.
Bob Hodgkins?
I'm going to look this up now. I just dropped your poem on the board, so we are going that route. But I want to look up this now. I don't know his... I feel like I've heard it, his name, I would know, but if you just said his name, maybe I don't know. Is that his name?
I don't know. He was the one from Jessica Rabbit. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
I think that's Bob Hodgkins that you're thinking of.
Let's see. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But no, it's not him. That's not the annoying one. The annoying one I was thinking about, but I like him. He plays a lot of annoying character. And it's not Bob Hodgkins. It's John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo. Oh yeah, he was in the one
pest.
He was in the Wesley Snipes movie. He was the big blue thing in Blade.
Oh.
That was John Leguizamo.
Who you watched? Oh, I feel like he also played in this movie called The Pest. And I thought it was so funny.
I think he was also in the Julie Newmar movie, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. I think he was in that as well.
Oh yeah, he was in that. I love that film. The one with Wesley Snipes and why can't I think of his name? Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze, yeah. I like him. Oh, yeah, I really like him. Oh, he played in Romeo and Juliet, too. I remember that. He was Mercutio or Tybalt. He was Tybalt. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pretty good actor.
He's one of those ones that play a lot of times like an annoying character, but I really like him. Like Pauly Shore. I don't know why.
Oh,
I just love Pauly Shore. I just love him. He's just,
weasel.
I don't watch a lot of comedy, So when I say I like a comedy actor, it's rare because I don't watch a lot of comedy.
He's got a shadow over his head because his mom is one of the ones that owns one of the largest comedy venues in California. Was it the Laugh Factory or one of them? She's one of the main, you know, people. His mother. And I'm embarrassed that I don't remember her freaking name, but like she's like, if you're in with her, she could like make your career. She was just one of those, you know. She saw everybody, everybody's careers. Yeah, his mother was very, 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 very famous. She owned one of the clubs, and you know she controlled a lot of the comedians. And again, I can't remember her damn name, but
that's it.
Yeah.
I'll Google it once we let this person on. So let me let this person on. And I'm terrible. I don't know whose number this is because I don't have anything over here.
Hello
and welcome to Down to... It is AP. I thought it might be.
It's me.
Mr. Taylor.
Hi, AP.
How are you?
You
good.
I'm good. I'm curious why Sweet Pea is always mixing us up because our area codes are not the same. I wonder why she does that. It's only the first number.
It's only the first number, a single number. I mean, you know, you gotta get past that, really. You know, honestly.
Oh my goodness, how are you doing tonight?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I like your topics. I haven't written on any of them though. I have to be honest. I've just sort of, you know, been busy doing other stuff. But I like the topic a lot.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to drop Bracken Tor, and then I'm going to play his audio. While I'm doing that,
cool.
If you, I just like people to talk about it. So if you have any poem that is remotely related, even if it has the word shadow in it, I'm cool with you dropping that. And then you you could tell me any knowledge or any opinions about any of the topics, and I count that as A plus.
Oh, he's from Australia. Cool. He's got to have a poem about giant birds.
I'm sure
AP has a planet poem about something out there. I'm sure he really likes that kind of stuff. So I'm sure he does. So
bear with me.
Yeah. So I'm gonna play Rack while you're looking for that because I've had Rack to like. Me and Rack went down a really random tube with talking about Pauly Shore. So I'm going to press play. and you find that poem. But here we go.
I will.
Vocals in Darkness by Rackin' Tor. My voice disperses as it attempts flight, swallowed by shadows fading from sight. Gateway into the night. Darkness devours the light. Still, there's music that surrounds us, contained in whispers, murmurs, and agonized screams. Beauty layered in every note, tinged with naive hopes and shattered dreams. Shadows offer solace, like the innocence of the womb or the finality of death. In between, there's nothing but vulnerability and the passing of time with every breath. No place louder than in the conservatory of my breast, one time replete with the echoes of concerts long since completed, melodies that once resonated, any vestiges long since depleted, creating a vacuum so profound I feel my core tearing me asunder. No sound ever to escape again, nothing of value left to plunder. The rhythms of my being were never meant to be played solo, heedlessly sung at peak voice to a packed house, yet unheard by the audience, or remain untouched by any emotions espoused. Sound sometimes seems to be absorbed by the darkness, silencing the lyrics to my muted tune, blinding me, crushing my aspiration to croon. No accompaniment to my performance, no one to hear my song. Everyone has departed, and I've been vocalizing offbeat all along. End poem.
Oh, this is one of my favorite. You know, you had me. I almost thought, even though this is really sad, that there was going to be some goodness in it, and there was. But I thought maybe the hope was going to outweigh, and then I felt like it kept, it was kind of like, this is going to be a really weird analogy, so please stay with me. But you know when people go catch, they catch a fish, they put it out there, and then they hook it, and then they, and then, you know, you reel it in, but then you cast it back out, and then you hook it again? That's what I felt like you were doing with my emotions, you know, because you start to go through beautiful, I think this is very beautiful. It is actually one of my favorite. I'm going to put this with the, when I start talking about the snowman poem, I think I'm going to start talking about this one now. But where you go into, first of all, I love the music that you brought into it. And of course, the link to darkness. And, you know, people think about darkness, they think about solitude. Well, people, me, when I think about darkness, there can also be a solitude, and I can't help but obviously equate this piece to you and to personal struggles and things like that. But the idea of also being in the dark and having no light, speaking of hope and despair, and all those, you know, those concepts that are figurative and then also linking in the literal into that. And, of course, going into beauty layered in every note, talking about those hopes and those dreams, perhaps finding those tinges of, hope that you speak of. And that's where you kind of had me going in. You kind of plummeted me down. And then you started talking about there are still those beautiful moments. There still are those flashes of hope, those beautiful things that life gives to us. But then you start to talk about that vacuum, and you start to go through, again, bringing us back down. For me, one of the most prominent lines in this was at the end, when you speak of Ivan vocalizing off, you know, I was never meant to sing solo. I was never meant to be alone. This isn't, I was meant to play a harmony, and that's kind of like your soul yearning to find another. And there's a profound sadness in that as well. But to say I've been vocalizing offbeat all along, having no one to understand you, having to be in that darkness and that solitude, you know, definitely well labeled in the Hurt Locker. I really love this one. I thought it was really, really expressed. And sometimes when a poem brings you into that a sadness, you kind of stay there. And I kind of felt a little bit of a whirlwind here. I kind of felt a little tricked. You kind of brought me through a lot of emotion. You kind of brought me through that sadness and into that hope and then back into that sadness. But honestly, that's often how emotions are. They ebb and they flow. And they can be like a whirlwind. This was an excellent piece, Rack. Thank you.
Thank you, Sky.
I'm going to put this on my recommendation list and then to this. AP, what did you think?
Well, no, I agree with you. I think most people prefer to be singing in a group or singing in harmony with somebody else, and most of the time it sounds a shit load better, to be honest, when you've got multiple people singing, because they can rely on each other, and it's sort of 1 + 1 usually equals 3 by having two people together. And, you know, to me, having that crushing aspiration and no accompaniment, no one to hear my song because everyone's departed, talks to that real loss, and talks to the fact that absolutely most people are far more comfortable being with somebody else and sharing those songs and sharing those thoughts all the way along. And, you know, the recognition at the end that, you know, part of the issue lies within, I think, is really powerful, and that's actually the offbeat comment. So, I really like it, Rack. I think it's clever to think of a relationship through the form of music, and even better to think of it through the form of a shared song.
Thank you.
excellent comment, AP, and thank you again, Rack. And that was one I haven't read before, which is really exciting for me. All right, AP, you know the drill because I think you called before. Whenever you want to, you could read, but you can also talk about any of the topics, anything that you found interesting about, or anything you know, you have any knowledge, bring to the board. I'm sure you do about the S2B. I'm sure you know some stuff, more stuff than I know about. I was just talking about this. That is not my venue. I usually watch ocean documentaries. But I'm like, I need to start going out in space a little bit with my down the tube. So I tried to bring, you know, an eclectic array of things. So you have the mic.
I've got a sort of eclectic poem, too, that I put up on the board, so I'll talk about that in a tick. But because I've just put it, it's an old piece from 5-6 years ago, Sky, and it's come to the publisher, but I think it's interesting. Because I don't usually write things that aren't on topic. And this is a good example of a really interesting topic in the sense that, you know, we did have birds that were huge. And they were around not too long ago. And what we, you know, we have the ones that we talked about that were in flight, that literally would come down and, you know, grab things like jaguars and lions and that sort of stuff. But then we had flightless birds that were huge, that were around in the not too distant future, you know. So and look, they tended to be pretty stupid, but they were fast and they were big, and, you know, if you're big enough and, you know, you still get around. And so you know, we had things like dodos and versions of emus that were twice as big as what they are up until reasonably recent times. Certainly, you know, from in times when the indigenous people in Australia, they were confronting these emus that were twice as big as what the ones are now. So, you know, we had that scale of birds in flight, and of course dinosaurs, we think now, probably came out of the line of birds, all things being equal, and went and divvied themselves up and became really interesting things. And so, you know, we used to think about dinosaurs as having these leathery skins, and often now what we're finding is that they had sort of feathers in involved as well. And so it's sort of interesting to think about birds going one way and going down this gigantic path, dinosaurs coming off birds and going down another path, and then two of them sort of appearing together at one point. So that's all I know on dinosaurs and birds.
Awesome.
So, and I guess, you know, the thing on lakes and Earing Lakes is that, unfortunately, apart from the things that you talked about with the holes and lakes disappearing, in general terms, we have less water around in the earth in lakes now than what we did 10 years ago. So, you know, the lakes are disappearing down holes in some occasions, but most of the time what's happening is the lakes disappearing full stop. And there's less freshwater lakes, and the freshwater lakes we have are smaller than what they were the decade before that. And so, you know, that's causing real issues in terms of the very broad spectrum of life that relies on those lakes to survive, and the very broad spectrum of life that relies on those lakes being clear and fresh. And so, you know, I think the story of lakes in the world at the minute is that a few of them are actively disappearing and the rest of them are passively disappearing.
Excellent, yeah. Like forests.
There's always going to be a huge issue for us in the world, Scott. If you step back, yeah, it was always going to be a huge issue because the population of the world has, you know, increased so quickly in the space of the last, you know, 50 to 100 years in particular. Yeah, so, you know, if you go back to 1870, which is what, only 150 years ago, yeah, roughly, the population of the world was, you know, roughly a billion people. And that has increased astronomically in the last 100 years, yeah? So we got to 2 billion people in 1928, and we got to 6 billion people in 1999, yeah? So we tripled the population of the planet in the space of 70-odd years, and then in another year or so, the population will go from 6 billion to 8 billion. Yeah, so put another 2 billion on in the space of 20-odd years.
There's the good and the bad about, you know, the advancement of technology and medical care. There's also that people are living longer, all of that.
You know, so there's wonderful things. Like, for example, I think 75% of the world, of the people who ever studied science, for example, in the world, are alive today. Yeah. So we're getting these wonderful breakthroughs through technology and science and through space and through all sorts of different things, because we've got so many people studying it now compared to what we used to have. So we're getting wonderful breakthroughs that it's putting an enormous pressure on the Earth and its resources, because we're increasing the population so quickly.
Yeah. Well, thank you, AP. I like that. I like when people come in and they can talk a little bit about the topics. That's really what I care about. So I appreciate that. I mean, I like the poems too. But even if people take a way different view on the poem, yeah, I always love the conversation, you know.
Well, it's always with these things, there's good and bad. But, you know, yeah, as you rightly say, you know, so. And that's what the discussion should be. There's good and there's bad, you know, equal parts. But anyway, I have a poem, and it's directly on the board of Athema Voices, because it's a little bit esoteric for me. But anyway, we'll see what you think, Scott. So bear with it, yeah. And it goes a little bit like this. You got it there?
Yep, I got it. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Sonny Shaw. Towers, spires, alight in lime and pearl. Below windows bright, a checkerboard pattern lost. Ruby guided strobes on cranes, worn aircraft that do not fly here. The equivalent of concrete blocks on pavements, dissuading the use of cars as battering rams. As a piece of freedom has dived off the tower, and stains steam the shadow of their entrails. Palette forgotten, skies, space, and golden hopes. Reveal shades, our ebon horns, bloodied, in poem.
Excellent. May I ask your inspiration to this?
Yes. Well, look, I was in the city, and we've had a number of incidents recently in the last few years of cars used just to mow down pedestrians. And so if you look carefully now throughout the city, you'll find these obstacles, whether they're concrete blocks or bollards or whatever else, that have actually appeared. And they've got art on them or whatever else. But they've appeared deliberately to actually stop that happening. And I thought to myself, well, something's actually altered here, imperceptibly, about access to the city and stuff, and so that's what started it off.
Oh, that was an excellent piece. Dissuading the use of cars as battering rams as a piece of freedom has dived off a tower. I love that part the most. The piece was well done. The palette of forgotten skies, space, and golden hopes. I think this every stanza is very well thought out. I mean, you have, shorter lines, shorter stanzas, and obviously this is a bit of a brevity. You don't want to waste any words, and you definitely don't in the images as well. And it's very concise, but very potent in the delivery. And I think it is the images, again, like you kind of went through, again, with the battling rams of the cars. And when you're speaking of freedom as dived off a tower, I mean, I think there's a lot of ways that one can read into this and through to their perspective and where they are. That's why I asked you, you know, what was your inspiration?
Yeah.
I mean, some people like when people take things where they want to, but I was kind of curious, and that's why I asked first, because it is definitely one with the images and with it going down. It is one of those ones, I think, that people can kind of internalize and reflect their own thoughts into it, which is good as well, in use of metaphor and things like that. But I appreciate you bringing it and all the knowledge that you brought about the two subjects. Yeah. Rack, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you were inspired by cars. I mean, the cars were in there, but I what struck me most was the mentioning of the spires and the you know, the tower, you know, high points, all things that were well above where a car would normally be found. So, you know, it's, you know, unusual, I think. You know, you're kind of shifting your focus, even though that's what you're thinking about. I thought it was gorgeous. You know, there was a lot of you know, urban landscape in my head as you read it. You know, it seemed very familiar, but you know, also somewhat, you know, lofty and out in nature. So again, nothing really to do with cars. So I thought it was great. You know, it really had me all over the place. It was a lovely trip.
Thank you. Thanks, Rick.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a little dry. Yeah, thank you, AP, and thanks for taking the time to call and for bringing a piece. And if you put it on a poem, like on a page, send it to me, and I'll make you a little my thoughts, and I'll make it the thoughts, you know, the commitment in print. You know, I'll commit to it.
Thank you.
My John Hancock. Oh, before you go, and we only have 8 minutes left, so I assume you're going to go soon, but do you want to plug anything, AP?
That's a really good question. Sky, look, we've got our normal everyday Saturday night show, which will be on school is the topic this week. So we've got that, and that's probably the only one that I've got to plug as we sit at the minute. Scott?
No,
okay.
No Tic Mac Banjo?
Well, the Tic Mac Banjo is a monthly thing, so it will appear again in a little bit. It just takes a week or two for that to get together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just a... It's a little time consuming. That's great. It's a great thing to do. It's just a little time consuming. That's all.
Awesome. Okay. And I'm just, well, thank you for calling, AP. I mean, you're welcome to, we're going to end about 7 minutes. You're welcome to hang out. I'm not sure. I didn't ask you how much time you had, so I'm not sure. Close out. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I will disappear, but thank you, Sky. And it's always appreciated, as I said, the work that you put into your topics, and that they're unusual and they're different, and that they make you think.
Thank you. I'd like to be a little bit different every now and again. Thank you, AP, for calling.
Your
input as well.
No, we appreciate it. So thank you. And I'll leave you to the last 5 minutes.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
home study program. Thank you.
Cheers.
I am, before we close out, I'm going to plug the rest of the shows for the week. I'm going to save Deb's poem. I think I want her to read it to me, so I hope she doesn't mind. Usually when she can't call, I save her. And I forgot to say if she'd prefer that. And I think I'm going to save her for next time, and she can read too. I like when she reads it to me. She usually gives me – she puts a lot of work into the poems. Like, she puts a lot of research into it. So I like when she gets the opportunity to explain. So we're going to save that. I hope she's okay with that. And I just want to plug the rest of the show. So tomorrow night, Crystal Hope is on. And she is writing Guess That Poet, Spring Edition. And she's done this before. It was pretty cool. If you want to play, sign your name below, and she will secretly find one of your poems that has to do with her topic. And she's going to read a few lines, and then everybody has to guess who it's from. And then that poet will read the whole poem. It's a really fun, cool idea. I did it for Mother's Day, and she happened to find, like, this very dark poem about the 13th ghost. And it was like, oh, no, it was about the 13th. I'm like, whoa. And everybody's like, what is that? And she's like, it just piped in the title. So it's pretty fun because she might find something really, you know, surprising. And then, of course, Thursday, and is Sweet Discussions. And Sweet Pea's topic is Love and Blood, The Way you Look at Me. And she's asking you to write to this prompt. The blood in my teeth brings to taste like a poem, like religion, like the way you look at me. Oh, that's nice. All right, so that is the prompt. So bring a poem and write to that. And last but not least is Deb's Monday personal prompt, and it's Lee S. C. Art. That's cool. And I don't think I have. I'm gonna have to grab one. I don't think I have one. Let me see. Oh no, I do have one. Ooh, I did. I do have one. Okay. And so it's personal prompt Monday. She goes live at 10. And there's artwork choices. There's no word bank this time. So all you have to do is write to the picture. So write a name on a board and reserve a prompt and write to it. That's a really cool artist. Okay, so that's it for that. And I want to say my thank yous really quick. And I wrote them down because I was good today. Yeah, I want to thank Rack, of course, Rack and Tor, for staying with me the whole time. I appreciate it, because if it's one thing that gives me anxiety is being alone, so thank you. And thank you, Stephen, Allie, Lockdown, Lars, Titus, AP, and Deb also, for all calling in, writing a poem, contributing to the topic. I didn't forget anybody, right? I don't think I did.
No.
And thank you, Rack, for the great conversation. Huh?
Okay. You said Stephen, right?
I did, yep. I wrote him. He was right after you. Yep. We can give him a second thank you. If he really wants to. And thanks for the great conversation, Rack.
That's my pleasure.
And I have a song if you want to listen to it. I usually end out right after. But it is Callio, and I talked about them at the beginning. So
yes.
We're good. All right, let's see. All the Pretty Girls. All right, let's enjoy this song.
Those moments he can down. Won't you lay me? Won't you lay me down? Won't you lay me? Won't you lay me down?
Using blog talk.